18. We're going to start at verse 22. I know the bulletin says verse 15, but we're just going to shorten it a little bit. So we're going to start John 14, verse 22. If you don't have your Bible, there should be one in the hymnal shelf in front of you. And you can also pull up your phone or iPad and open up your Bible app. But I like a little bit more audience participation. We are here worshiping together. So when you get to John 14, I need you to say out loud, amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, that just sounds awesome. Here we go. John 14, starting in verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, asked, Lord, why are you about to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever doesn't love me does not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine. It is the word of the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give to you not as the world gives. So do not be troubled or afraid. You have heard me tell you, I am going away and returning to you. If you loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than me. I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. I won't say much more to you, because this world's ruler is coming. He has nothing on me. Rather, he comes so that the world will know that I love the Father and do just as the Father has commanded me. Get up. We are leaving this place. The word of God for the people of God. So I don't want to scare anybody. But sometimes I feel like I live two different lives. And I'm not just talking about the fact that I'm a police officer in Orange Beach and a preacher here in Foley, although those can be sometimes opposites. What I'm talking about is sometimes I feel like I am living a good life, doing what God has called me to do, being the good person I'm supposed to be. And then other times, I feel like I may have forgotten everything I learned. I may be a little rough around the edges. I know that surprises y'all, but it happens. And I don't react the way I know I should react. I just am not as good. I'm just not who God created me to be. I think that happens to all of us sometimes. You don't have to admit it. I'll take the lonely stand up here. But I think that it happens to all of us. And thinking about this kingdom living that we've been talking about the last few weeks, I don't know about y'all, but I've been getting kind of excited and encouraged and looking forward to this possibility that we can live into the kingdom of God now. That the entire message of Jesus is that the kingdom of God is now. And it's exciting to me to know that we can live into the presence of God now. We don't have to wait. It's not some far-off goal that we're looking for, but that we can choose it now. But I've been struggling, and it's hard, and I don't necessarily understand it all. It feels like there's a great divide that has to be crossed in order to move into that kingdom life. I've been doing some work the last couple weeks, some spiritual work the last couple weeks, and one of the concepts that was brought up was this concept of true self and this concept of false self. And over the last few weeks, this has really been sitting with me. The idea that each of us has a true self, a self that is created in the image of God, a self that the Holy Spirit lives in and works and speaks to, a self that lives after God's heart for sacrificial love of others. And then this idea of false self, this part of us that is formed as we grow up, this part of us that kind of gets instilled in us from birth, that creates a way of thinking, creates a way of living that we're not necessarily 100% conscious of, but that it rears its ugly head whenever anxiety, whenever fear, whenever anger, whenever something hits us or confronts us that makes us uncomfortable, we automatically respond out of this false self. And the more I think about it, the more I realize that this false self is what is stopping us from living into the kingdom now, living into this true life that God has called us to. It makes me wonder what Jesus means when he says stuff like in this scripture. The phrase that I want to focus on is that Jesus says, "I give you peace. I give you my peace. And I don't give as the world gives. So you don't have to be troubled or afraid." Now, I don't know about y'all, but peace is something I long for. I enjoy those moments of peace in my life where I can just be comfortable. But peace is not something that is always there. And if you don't understand that, think back to your days at work. Think about dealing with your family. Think about dealing with your kids. Think about all of the busyness of life that hits you and overwhelms you. And Jesus is telling us he's leaving us his peace. And there are moments in my life that I look and say, you know, I could really use that peace right now. If you would just kind of remind me where that is so I can find it, it would be great. And you know what I hear in those moments? You know what I hear in those moments? I hear God respond like this. If I wanted to give you a pair of coattails that you could ride on and make it all the way to heaven without ever having to learn anything, I would have done that. But that's not what I expect from you. You know, we expect this gift of the Holy Spirit, we expect this gift of peace to be just something that's there, that we can call on and cling to whenever we need to. We can just hit our trump card and override everything that's happening in life and just say, it's good. But I don't think that's the purpose God had when he tells us these things. When he gives us this peace. When he tells us that if we believe and follow and live, that he will make his home inside of us. It goes back to this true self and false self. And I think there's some really good examples of both in the Bible. If you look at Jesus, who lived his true self, who stayed involved in his true self his entire life, think about some of the things he did. Look at the woman in the well. The woman at the well. No, she wasn't in it. She was at it. Look at the woman at the well. Here was a woman who was a Samaritan, who was nobody, who was a nobody, who did not expect anybody to talk to her, especially a Jewish man. And Jesus meets her at the well and has a conversation with her where they disclose that she's a prostitute, They disclose that she's had several husbands. And there is absolutely no judgment or no condemnation in his voice, in that conversation, in that interaction. So I know that I deal with a lot of people that don't live to the same standards that I live. I mean, I think of myself as a clean person, a clean living person who tries to do the right things. But in my job as a police officer, I deal with a lot of people that I would not describe as clean or clean living. Or I would not even say that they try to do the right thing. And when I deal with those people, there's a level of anxiety, there's a level of disgust, there's a level of indifference that I set myself apart from them. And when I have a conversation with them, I don't always do it the right way. And I can't always see myself in that situation where Jesus was talking to somebody who the world said is different than him. And he had this conversation that was authentic, that was real, that was not filled with judgment, that he was able to speak God's love into. And when I run into that same situation, I find myself being stopped from being able to do that because of all of this automatic understanding of how the world's supposed to be. Another example is Jesus when he's in the house and the house is crowded and he's talking to all these people, and these four guys take their friend up to the roof and they make a hole in the roof and they lower this man right in front of Jesus, and Jesus is able to deal with that situation in a way that I would not. Because I'm telling you right now, we've got a decent flow going to this sermon. I feel like I might make it to the end. And if somebody busts in that back door and starts interrupting what's going on, I'm probably going to get a little aggravated. Because they have no regard for what we're doing in here. So my response would be probably one out of anger. But Jesus was able to look at the situation and not respond out of a sense of anger or frustration at the interruption, but to be who he was called to be who he was created to be, and to live in that true self, sharing God's sacrificial love for others despite the situation around him. Look at how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. I mean, you're talking about a true self and a false self example in one. Look at the way Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and the way the Pharisees dealt with Jesus. Jesus was able to deal with the anger and the hatred that was all around the situation. He didn't respond out of anger, out of hatred. He was able to be who he was created to be and to speak truth and love. Not out of a, I can't believe you've messed this entire thing up. For thousands of years, God has been speaking to you and teaching you, and now you're the religious leaders, and you've just messed everything up. I mean, that would probably be my response. But Jesus was able to say what needed to be said, to speak truth, and to love at the same time. Because he wasn't being ruled by the anger or anxiety that seems to take over on us. Look at the Pharisees. They were completely ruled by fear, by anxiety, by anger at the disruption of what they had cultivated over the years. They responded out of this false self that says, we have to protect ourselves. We can't let this, we don't care what's being said. We don't care who this person is. We're going to respond out of a way to protect ourselves. They got defensive. And out of their defensiveness, they killed the Messiah. Another example of false self is the rich man. Remember the rich man who came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I have lived my entire life following the rules, following the commandments. I've done everything you've asked me to do. And Jesus said, great. I want you to follow me. I just need you to go and sell everything you have so that you can be fully here right now. And he wasn't able to step into that true self. He wasn't able to step into that life that God was calling him to because of the anxiety or the fear. I don't know what that was, but just that inability to let go of what he knew, what he was comfortable with, what he understood. And so he was stopped from living the life following Jesus. He was stopped from living into the kingdom life now. Another example is Peter. Peter, one of the first disciples. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He lived with the man. He was in the inner circle. He heard so much and knew so much, but was overcome with fear when Jesus was arrested. And he said, "I will follow you wherever you are going, Lord." I mean, he was wanting to live that true self and be able to keep his word and say, "I will follow you." But Jesus knew that he would be stopped by fear. And he said, "No, you aren't going to go where I'm going. You're going to deny me 3 times. And on 3 occasions, when Peter had the opportunity to live into his word, to follow Jesus fully, to step into the kingdom of God now, fear stopped him. Fear of what would happen to him stopped him. And I know all of these examples are in the Bible, and they're great, and they're good stories. But like it or not, they still happen today. We listen to these sermons about how we can live into the kingdom of God today and how Jesus is calling us to follow in his footsteps now. But yet we find ourselves getting stopped and we make excuses. We make excuses that say, "I'm too busy." We make excuses that say, I just don't have time, or "I try really hard, but you know, my neighbor's really aggravating and I just can't go talk to him. You know, you don't know my coworkers, Lord. Oh, they're so annoying." But what we fail to realize is that those are places in our lives where we are getting stopped. And we like to make excuses and say it's time, we just don't get along with people, or we just can't really devote ourselves to that yet. But what we fail to realize is that it's actually us, and it's our fault. Because in those situations where you don't get along with somebody, maybe your anxiety builds, and that anxiety gets pent up in here, and that fear or that anger that goes along with that stops us from being able to fully live the life that God called us to live, to be able to enter into a situation completely there, completely focused on the life God has given us and called us to, and to live with a heart like God that says, "It's not about me. It's about loving others. It's about allowing God to work through me, to work with me, and to love others." And we say, "But Lord, you promise us peace. You say you give us your peace, and you give it not as the world gives it. So there should be a way that we could tap into that peace in those moments that the anxiety overwhelms us, that the fear grabs hold of us. We should be able to tap into that peace, because that's what you said, right? Isn't that what you meant by that?" And I think it is what he meant. But like I said a minute ago, we want this automatic plug. We want an outlet in the side of our house that we can plug into and receive peace from God and say, "I can handle everything now because I'm directly connected to that peace." But God says that's not how it works. God says, "I'm going to make my place inside of you. I'm going to dwell inside of you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who's going to be the companion, the comforter. He's going to remind you of everything I've taught you. But you're going to have to meet me there. in those moments of anxiety, in those moments of fear, in those opportunities to live the life I've called you to, when you find yourself getting stopped, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to look at those moments in your life. You're going to have to face those moments in your life. You're going to have to listen to my voice and stand in that uncomfortableness and trust that I will be there with you. You know, we like to say, I hear what you're saying, Pastor John, I get it, but you know, you just don't know me. I don't get upset. I don't get stopped. You know, I live a great life. It's easy. Everybody loves me. But that's the crazy thing about this false life, is it is so ingrained in us since birth that we don't even recognize that it's happening sometimes. And if you don't believe that, let me ask you this. Have you ever had a fight with your wife or your children or your best friend? And then after the fight, you're like, what just happened? I didn't even realize. I don't even know how that happened. You know what happened is your automatic responses, that anxiety got triggered and you reacted to it. That fear got triggered and you reacted to it. That anger got triggered and you reacted to it and you didn't even realize it. But God is saying that He is with us, and if we're willing to do the work, He will start to show that to us. If we will take the time to recognize that we don't have to live this false life, that the life God is calling us to, the kingdom that He is calling us to, is available now, and we start seeking after it, He will start shedding light into our lives. He will start by giving us peace and strength to look at those moments where we find ourselves getting stopped. He will show us where we got stopped in the past, and He will give us the courage to deal with those moments so that the next time somebody comes up that doesn't fit what you expect, when you meet the woman at the well, or when somebody's dropped down into your life and interrupts your flow, you don't have to respond out of anger or frustration. Or if you catch yourself responding out of anger and frustration, you can stop yourself and say, I want to live the life God has called me to now. And I'm not going to respond in anxiety, but I'm going to live in the peace that dwells in me, and I'm going to respond out of that. And instead of speaking fear, speaking anger, speaking into the anxiety, I'm going to speak God's love. I'm going to speak God's truth. I'm going to be who I am right here, right now, knowing that regardless of the situation, God is here, God is in me, and I am loved by Him fully as I am. You know, the hardest thing about any of this is just being who you are. Everybody in this room is afraid of what anybody else in this room thinks about them. They look around and say, that person, if they really knew who I was, isn't going to love me. You know, the best thing about God is He knows who you are. And there's nothing you can do that you won't be loved for. That He loves you because He made you perfect. And if we can learn to identify that false self and that true self and that struggle in the middle, and we can learn to take steps into that, we can hold on to the peace that God promised us, and we can speak peace and love instead of anger and anxiety, then we will truly see the kingdom of God start to come alive in our lives. And we will be able to live in it now instead of waiting. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it is hard when we have grown up in a world that lives in anxiety, that seeks out differences, that wants to speak anger and hatred and division and fear. Lord, when we hear promises of your peace, when we hear that you promise to dwell inside of us, when we hear that we can live in your kingdom now, a kingdom that is full of love, that speaks to your presence, it speaks to your glory. When we hear that we can live in that kingdom, we get lost, we get confused, because we struggle inside our own hearts. The anxiety, the fear, the hurt, the anger, it stops us. Sometimes without us even recognizing that it's happening. Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom that we can stop, that we can examine our lives, that we can be honest with ourselves. That when we respond to a situation, we can pay attention and see if we're responding out of that worldly anxiety or fear. And we can train ourselves to respond out of that peace and love that you promise. So that when we do speak, when we do respond, we can live the example that Jesus gave us, to be fully present as the creation of God, to speak to God's heart, to speak that sacrificial love of others. Lord, give us courage. Give us courage to live different. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.